from Northwest Wisconsin and on the free Civic Media app. 95.7 St. Croix Country. WSCM Baldwin. Your home for country favorites and classics. This is 95.7 St. Croix Country.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
Parents, are you ready to help your child develop the skills they need for lifelong success? We've got an essential interview with game-changing insights and strategies.
Kids have to draw on these skills, not only in order to be able to learn effectively, but also be able to manage their emotions or impulsivity or flexibility or things like that.
Then, if you're planning for retirement, are there hidden flaws in the advice you're getting? It may be costing you more than you think.
It actually turns out that this is the most expensive way to sort of make sure your money lasts through life expectancy. There's other financial tools that you can utilize that will guarantee that your money lasts through life expectancy much less expensively.
Those two stories and more are coming your way on this episode of InfoTrack. The show begins right after this.
With Progressive, you get more than savings. You get access to us through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
Oh, I see what you're doing here, Jamie. Giving me all these ways to stay in touch so I have no excuse not to. Well, you're in luck, because this guy's in the market for a new BFF.
Actually, all our customers can contact us this way.
Oh,
Yeah, no, I was just kidding.
But I am always up for Taco Pizza!
Jigsaw!
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Oh, no. My phone.
Hear that? It's the sound of a skater dropping her phone and smashing it on the ice. Yep, it's definitely broken. But at Verizon, we got you. That's right. Now's your last chance to trade in any phone, any condition from one of our top brands and get a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus on Unlimited Ultimate and Watch 7 and Tab S9 FE 5G. That's up to $1,900 in value. So you'll save big on three great gifts. Only at Verizon. Service plan required for watch and tablet. Up to $1,900 value based on phone, watch, and tablet. Trade in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Let's play
Bet Your Life.
It's the game show where you gamble not only your life, but those of your passengers and fellow drivers when you get behind the wheel after drinking.
If only it was just a game. It only takes one bad decision to change your life forever. Getting behind the wheel after you've been drinking is one of them. Don't play games that nobody can win. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
December deals just dropped at Lowe's. Get up to 30% off select major appliances. Plus, take an additional $75 off every $1,000 you spend on select kitchen major appliances from Whirlpool, KitchenAid, Amana, and Maytag. And save $30 on a Project Source 3-gallon pancake compressor. Was $79.98, now $49.98. Valid 12/19 through 12/25. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items. While supplies last. Tool offer valid 12/5 through 12/18. While supplies last.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
When a child is struggling in school or in life, the parents might say their child is smart but scattered. Well, there are vital strategies you can apply to get your child organized and on the right path. With more, here's InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. Our guest is Dr. Peg Dawson, author of Smart But Scattered, the Revolutionary Executive Skills Approach to Helping Kids Reach Their Potential, second edition. Dr. Dawson, can you explain the concept of executive skills and why they're important for children's development?
Yeah. Executive skills are, they're brain-based skills. They're managed out of the frontal lobes of the brain. We call them that because they're the skills required to execute tasks. They're basically the infrastructure that supports learning. So it's things like planning and time management, and task initiation, sustained attention. In our model, we talk about 11 different skills. But kids have to draw on these skills, not only in order to be able to learn effectively, but also be able to manage their own behavior, whether it's managing their emotions or impulsivity or flexibility or things like that.
I think probably every parent at one time or another thinks, my kid probably could use some executive skill work, but are there some common signs when a parent should recognize if their child does need help in this area?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because parents only have the kids standing in front of them, or, you know, maybe one or two kids, and they don't know what's normative and what isn't. If there's something that their child is doing that the parent feels like, this is really bugging me, or this is getting in the way of their development, or I don't think this is healthy, or I don't think this is age appropriate, we often recommend that they look around them, look at their child's friends, and look what they're doing, and does it fit in with the stages their kids' friends are at, or talk to their teacher. I mean, any experienced teacher has, you know, 20 kids in her class every year, so she has a general sense of, here's what we expect second graders to do, here's what we expect third graders to do. And then if they're additionally concerned, you know, seeking out advice from a physician or a therapist or a psychologist. But I would start by just doing a more informal sort of assessment.
Our guest on InfoTrack is Dr. Peg Dawson, the author of Smart But Scattered, and we're talking about ways to raise focused and well-rounded kids. Dr. Dawson, you mentioned technology a moment ago. What role can technology play in children's executive skills development?
Again, this is where it gets complicated, because I think people in general want us to say, oh, technology is bad. Kids should be off technology as much as possible, which we're realists. That's impossible. And there are places where executive skills get in the way, not necessarily because technology itself is bad, but because kids at different ages don't have the executive skills to manage technology appropriately on their own. If you think about social media or video games or smartphones, it's incredibly attractive to kids at an age where response inhibition, which is the ability to control your impulse, is not particularly well developed. And so on the one hand, we're asking kids to put the brakes on something that's incredibly, I won't necessarily say addictive, although it can get addictive for some, but it's just so attractive that kids have trouble putting on the brakes. On the other hand, there are uses of technology which help strengthen executive skills. So there are some good video games out there. I think of Minecraft, for instance, which enables kids to develop problem-solving skills. If you're playing it with friends, you're developing social problem-solving skills. And then there are technological aids. So for instance, there are apps which help kids manage their daily routines. Like one of my favorites is ChoiceWorks, where a parent or a teacher can help a child set up a routine for getting ready for school in the morning. You think about what are the steps and how long will it take you to do each step? And then you start the routine and turn on the app and time it down. So if I were to boil it down to one piece of advice for parents around technology, it's the advice is always balance. That technology does play a role in everybody's lives today, and we can't change that, nor do I think should we. But if it's taking up all of a child's time, then they're missing out on other things. They're missing out on physical exercise. They're missing out on fresh air. They're missing out on face-to-face social opportunities. They're missing out on the opportunity to read books. So all of, that's where the balance comes in.
What about school? Is there anything parents can do to work with teachers if they have concerns about their child?
Yeah, and this is where it gets, again, it's always complicated, but a child's executive skills at home may look different than how they look at school. Schools put different demands on kids, and they also provide different supports and scaffolds for kids. So a kid can look like they've got huge executive skill issues at home, and then the parent talks to the teacher, and the teacher says, no, he's fitting in just fine. Yeah, he's following the routines, he's doing what he's supposed to do, getting along pretty well with kids. And I've met parents who sort of assume that the school is lying about that. It's just that it looks different at school and at home. However, there are often times where school is stressful for kids and they hold it in at school and then they fall apart when they come home. And in those situations, the school may be contributing to that child's problem with emotional control, which is another executive skill. So our general recommendation for parents in working with the school is to go in saying, here's what we're noticing at home. I'm wondering if you see anything similar at school. Or here's what we're doing at home to support our child. So for instance, let's say that kid who always forgets his homework. You know, a parent can't be at school to make sure the kid puts it in his backpack, but the parent can say, no, at home, here's how we handle homework. But you know what? His homework doesn't always come home. And so I'm wondering what we can do to increase the likelihood that his homework is going to get in his backpack.
Many of us have heard the term helicopter parenting. How can parents balance this need to support their child's executive skills without being overbearing?
The Atlantic magazine did an article where they talked about the lighthouse parent as a contrast to the helicopter parent who sort of hovers over kids, or the snowplow parent. You may have heard that term as well, where the parent just clears the way for the kids so it's smooth sailing on forward. The lighthouse parent sort of acts as a guide in the background. Parents need to be willing to let kids try stuff out, to test out how they want to handle a situation, and be willing to encounter mistakes so they know what those mistakes feel like. I certainly know when my kids were young, I just wanted them to be happy, and I wanted to do anything I could to make sure that they had this happy childhood. And yet there's a place for unhappiness. There's a place for dealing with conflict and solving problems on one's own without parents jumping in. When your child is dealing with an issue, don't quickly jump in to solve the problem. Start by reflecting their feelings. Oh, that sounds pretty frustrating. Wow, looks like you're having a hard time. What do you think we can do about that without jumping in quickly to solve the problem?
As a final thought, can you just maybe outline some of the long-term benefits of helping children develop these strong executive skills?
First of all, they'll be successful in school. And there are lots of studies to show that if you look at first graders and look at what their executive skills are like in first grade and what their academic achievements are like in first grade, and then jump ahead to middle school, look at those same kids, what you find is that their executive skills in first grade are a better predictor of academic success in middle school than their academic performance in first grade. That's how important these skills are. But if you look at the individual skills, especially the way we talk about them, and there are models out there which I think are more confusing than ours, it becomes very clear. If we're talking about things like planning and time management and organization and goal-directed persistence, if you can help kids grow all of those skills, to me, the path forward is pretty obvious. I mean, those are more successful and happier individuals throughout their lives.
Dr. Peg Dawson, the author of Smart But Scattered, thank you very much for joining us today.
Sure. That was fun.
For InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, are you getting overpriced financial advice? That story as InfoTrack continues.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this.
Not sure how much you know about Progressive Insurance. You may know us for insuring your home and auto. You may know a couple of our commercials. But what you may not know is that since 2013, Progressive has been honoring veterans with vehicle donations through the annual Keys to Progress Veteran Vehicle Giveaway Program, giving back to those who gave so much. Now, you probably didn't wake up today saying, I really wish I knew more about Progressive Insurance, but this seemed like the type of thing people wouldn't mind hearing about. Find out more about how we're dedicated to our customers and communities at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Dude, it's time to head to Grandma's for the holiday feast.
I mean, didn't you just smoke a bowl?
Yeah, but it's cool, man. Grandma won't notice.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Someone noticed, and it wasn't Grandma. If you think that others can't tell that you've been smoking marijuana and driving high, think again. Always remember, if you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit SkyRizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Are you ready to rethink your retirement strategy? The right advice can help you build a more secure, tax-efficient retirement plan that stands the test of time. InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco has the story. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is David McKnight, author of The Guru Gap, How America's Financial Gurus Are Leading You Astray and How to Get Back on Track. He has made frequent appearances in Forbes, USA Today, The New York Times, and others. David, what are perhaps the top one or two pieces of financial advice for retirees that you feel are not presented often enough, perhaps even contrary to what others say, and why you feel your advice makes more sense?
Well, a lot of times when you listen to sort of the mainstream conventional wisdom when it comes to retirement, you hear a lot of advice around what we call the 4% rule. And the 4% rule basically says build up a huge pile of money by day one of retirement and then constrain yourself to a little tiny 4% distribution rate. And that'll give you between a 75% to 85% likelihood that your money will last through life expectancy. That's generally the consensus among, you know, mainstream media personalities and financial gurus. It actually turns out that this is the most expensive way to sort of make sure your money lasts through life expectancy. There's other financial tools that you can utilize that will guarantee that your money lasts through life expectancy much less expensively. So one of the things I talk about in the book is how you can, in a much more efficient and cost-effective way, really purge one of the most important risks from your retirement plan, which is longevity risk, the likelihood that you sort of run out of money before you run out of life.
And when you say guarantee, my mind goes to fixed instruments. Is that what you're talking about?
Yep, that's exactly right. So, you know, there's a four-letter word out there that a lot of financial gurus are not wild about, and that's what we call an annuity. And, you know, if you don't like annuities because of what you've heard from various financial gurus, you're not going to like Social Security, and you're not going to like that company pension you may plan on getting in retirement, because annuities work according to the exact same principles. And basically, you're handing a chunk of your retirement savings over to an insurance company. And in return, you're getting a guarantee, a promise that you will receive a given amount of income every year until you die. And, you know, even Jane Austen from Sense and Sensibility says that people tend to live forever when they have an annuity. So there's a lot of psychological and physical benefits that go along with annuities as well. So, yep, it's annuities and other types of fixed instruments like that can be very, very helpful in helping you wring the most efficiency out of your retirement savings.
So longevity is one risk in retirement. What are some of the others that have become more prevalent in recent years?
Particularly of late and since COVID, and since we printed about $6 million to sort of plug the hole that COVID created in our economy, inflation's been a big deal. And so this is something that people more and more are having to reckon with when it comes to their retirement plans. Even if you have a 6% inflation rate, your spending power will be cut in half after over, you know, only 12 years. And so the problem is, the longer you live, the more inflation can sort of take a toll on your retirement savings. So it's important to deal with that. Long-term care is another one. You can blow through a lifetime worth of savings in just a few short years if you don't account for long-term care risk as well.
And on that risk of whether you have enough, many people feel that if the market does go south, well, the portfolio will eventually come back. It always does. But in retirement, isn't it a little harder for that to happen?
It is, and it's especially devastating if you experience a market downturn in the first 10 years of retirement while you're drawing income off of that portfolio. It can actually send your stock portfolio into a death spiral from which it never recovers. And this is why a lot of financial gurus will recommend that you never take out more than 4% in any given year, because according to all the Monte Carlo scenarios, if you take out 4%, even in a down market, your portfolio can weather that sort of trauma. If you can avail yourself from some of these other financial tools that are sort of outside the conventional wisdom of gurus, then you can actually sort of become impervious to stock market volatility, and your money just has a higher likelihood of lasting as long as you do.
So let's talk a little bit more about composition of your portfolio. Let's take a somewhat specific case. Person retires today at age 65. She's got $1 million in the portfolio. What percentage do you believe should be in equities? What percentage in fixed income? Or is there a better approach with different metrics?
So what I might do in a situation like that is I might say, okay, what is the income shortfall? If they have a pension or maybe, you know, Social Security, that's going to cover part of their living expenses in retirement. So what I would say is, of that $1 million, how much would I need to put into an annuity that's going to give me a guaranteed stream of income that's going to last as long as I do, so that I can completely cover my living expenses? And I'm going to adjust all of that for inflation. And then whatever's left over, I'm going to put that in a pedal to the metal stock market portfolio, probably mostly stocks. Why? Because my living expenses are now completely covered by, you know, Social Security, pension, and that annuity. I now have the luxury of watching that stock market portfolio recover before I take further distribution. So when you have guaranteed income, it sort of gives you a permission slip, as it were, to take more risk in the stock market.
We're visiting with David McKnight, who's now out with his latest book, The Guru Gap: How America's Financial Gurus Are Leading You Astray and How to Get Back on Track. When should you, if you should, convert money from your tax-deferred traditional IRA to a Roth IRA, before retiring or shortly after?
It's different for everybody. Generally, right when you retire, your tax bracket tends to go down. But there's a lot of other considerations here. I actually believe that we're at historically low tax rates. The problem is, it's probably going to add another $5 trillion to the $36 trillion of debt. And experts believe that that number is going to continue to grow and compound. And so the likelihood that tax rates down the road are going to be dramatically higher than they are today is pretty high. And most experts now believe that. So I think that now is as good a time as any to start thinking about the timing of a Roth conversion, because, like I said, a lot of experts believe that tax rates are really going to skyrocket. And this is something that even a lot of gurus and I agree upon.
I once heard an advisor say, it's not how much you pay in taxes, it's how much you have left over. So do many people go for tax shelters that are actually bad for them, actually placing them in a worse financial condition?
When it comes to shielding yourself from the impact of higher taxes down the road, I really do like to stay with those mainstream ones. I love Roth IRAs. I love Roth 401ks. I love Roth conversions. I love using cash value life insurance in certain contexts where it makes a lot of sense. So I do think you have to be careful with which combination of tax-free tools that you use. But I think if you stay with the ones that I mentioned there, I think you're going to be in relatively good shape.
And you briefly mentioned cash value life insurance. Some people say that it's got higher premiums and lower returns. Your thoughts?
Depending on the type that you use, I think you can get anywhere from 5 to 7%. And I think you can do that net of fees. And I think that you can do that without taking any more risk than what you're accustomed to taking in a savings account. And I think there's a very specific application that you can use where you can live out of your cash value life insurance in the year following a down year in the stock market. And that gives your stock market portfolio a chance to recover before you take further distributions. And that also can increase the sustainable withdrawal rate on your stock market portfolio from 4 to 8% with a 95% success rate. So there are some contexts where it could make some sense.
Finally, in your book, you write, and I quote, "I hope to connect with a narrow swath of Americans who have saved well but are looking to maximize their after-tax cash flow in retirement," unquote. So what about those who do have trouble saving? What's your advice to them?
Well, I think if you have trouble saving, you just need to get back to the basics. There are some time-tested principles. You know, do you buy one stock or the entire market? Probably entire market. Do you buy and hold or do you time the market? Probably buy and hold. Do you invest money willy-nilly or do you have a set and forget it automated sort of a plan? Probably set it and forget it automated. And then I think you need to invest in tax-free accounts because I think the experts are telling us that tax rates down the road are going to be dramatically higher than they are today. And I think getting back to the basics will sort of set you on a road to a predictable and sustainable tax-free retirement.
Author David McKnight, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Hey, pet parents. With Progressive's collision coverage, you get extra protection for your cat or dog because there's nothing worse than seeing your pet hurt. Like when you see their face after accidentally stepping on their tail and you say, "I'm so sorry, Mr. Pickles." But as you kiss his nose and rub his little belly welly, you know Mr. Pickles is thinking, "You betrayed me." Anywho, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet bills if your pet is injured in an auto accident. Learn more at progressive.com and watch where you step. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Collision coverage subject to policy terms. Not available in all states.
Let's play
Bet Your Life.
It's the game show where you gamble not only your life, but those of your passengers and fellow drivers when you get behind the wheel after drinking.
If only it was just a game. It only takes one bad decision to change your life forever. Getting behind the wheel after you've been drinking is one of them. Don't play games that nobody can win. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Welcome back to InfoTrack and our host, Chris Whitting.
Does banning plastic bags in grocery stores really help the environment? Recent research had results that might surprise you. Joining us is the co-author of the study, Hai Chu, marketing professor at University of California, Riverside. Professor, can you give us an overview of your recent study on plastic bag policies in Austin and Dallas, Texas? Just a brief overview.
Sure. In the two cities we studied, they actually implemented a plastic bag ban from their grocery checkout counters. So we studied what happened to consumers' grocery shopping behavior after these single-use plastic bags were banned. So we found, very interestingly, consumers started buying more trash bags, not large trash bags, but the small trash bags. And also what's interesting in those two cities was that in 2016, the Texas state legislature repealed the single-use bag ban policy in Austin and Dallas, so the consumers can start using single-use bags again for free. Then we kind of look at, would they revert back to their pre-policy behavior, or would they still continue buying more trash bags?
Did you see any positive environmental behaviors after the repeal of the bag policies? I mean, was there any lasting positive effect?
We don't have the data from our data sources about how that changed consumers' usage behavior of these single-use checkout bags. What we can observe, however, in the data is what people do in all these other categories. So as I mentioned, consumers would start buying more small trash bags And that's not an environmentally friendly behavior, obviously, because they kind of replace one plastic with another plastic. In the beginning of this study, we were especially interested in finding out whether consumers would actually buying less, for example, single-use plastic bottles, plastic cups, plastic plates, or maybe paper cups, paper plates, but we don't find any changes. So we didn't find consumers become more environmentally friendly in these other categories. We actually found they're buying more plastic in terms of their increased purchase of small trash bags. One thing we realized, when you are giving out free single-use bags, people, of course, use them to bag the groceries, right? They're clean, they're convenient, but also when they got home, they don't just throw away, unless it's really filthy. Otherwise, they would actually repurpose it. For example, when I was a doctoral student, we used those single-use bags to bag lunch to replace a lunchbox. We also use these single-use bags to bag trash if you don't have a lot of trash at home, or every home has several trash cans, maybe in your bathrooms or maybe in your study. And oftentimes, consumers repurpose those single-use bags. In the end, we think that's what happened. Once they're taken away, they still value such convenience, but now people are buying more small trash bags. Would that, in the end, cause more harm to the environment, considering that there may be a drop in single-use trash bags, but there may be an increase in small trash bags purchase? So what's the net increase or decrease in plastic consumption? So we did such a calculation, although it's sort of a back of the envelope calculation. What we found was that news is not bad for the environment, because as long as consumers could reduce their single-use bag usage, if they can just reduce one bag every week, then the net effect on the environment is basically zero. So in other words, there won't be such a big deal in terms of the increase in plastic consumption on the environment.
What do you hope policymakers take away from the research on the long-term impacts of these bags?
There are several things. One is we're hoping that policymakers, when such policies are in place, there are all kinds of not only the direct effect, but in this study, we are looking at the indirect or spillover effect. Banning the single-use bag, people start to, for convenience reason, they need to buy other plastic. I guess another takeaway is such policies, while we found negative, environmentally unfriendly behavior, it may still achieve net benefit to the environment instead of sort of a net harm.
Fascinating study. Hai Chu, marketing professor at University of California, Riverside. Professor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Chris. I appreciate it.
And that wraps up this week's show. InfoTrack's executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitting. Our internet services are provided by Pear.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you'll be here next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
Text us anytime. Just download the free Civic Media app and select 95.7 St. Croix Country.
You say you'll be down in 5. The smell of your perfume is floating down the stairs. You're fixing up your hair like you do. I know that I'll be a mess the second that I see you. You won't be surprised, it happens every time, it's nothing new. It's always on a night like tonight. I thank God you can read my mind. Cause when you look at me with those eyes, I'm speechless, staring at you standing there in that dress. What it's doing to me ain't a secret. Cause watching you is all that I can do. And I'm speechless. You already know that you're my weakness. After all this time I'm just as nervous. Every time you walk into the room I'm speechless. It started when you said hello.
just did something to me. And I've been in a daze ever since the day that we met. You took the breath out of my lungs, can't even fight it. And all of the words out of my mouth without even trying. And I'm speechless, staring at you standing there in that dress. What it's doing to me ain't a secret, cause watching you is all that I can do. And I'm speechless, you already know that you're my weakness. After all this time I'm just as nervous, every time you walk into the room. Watching you is all that I can do. Oh, I'm speechless. You already know that you're my weakness. After all this time, I'm just as nervous. Every time you walk into the room.
About everything under the moon, with the smell of honeysuckle and your perfume. All I could think about was my next move. Oh, but you were so shy, so was I. Maybe that's why it was so hard to believe when you smiled and said to me, are you gonna kiss me all night? Are we gonna do this all night? Your shot. Are you gonna kiss me or not? It was the best dang kiss that I ever had, except for that long one after that. And I knew if I wanted this thing to last, sooner or later I'd have to ask for your hand. So I took a chance, bought a wedding band, and got down on. Smiling said to me, are you gonna kiss me or not? Are we gonna do this or why? I think you know I love you a lot. I think we got a real good shot. Are you gonna kiss me? You gonna kiss me or not? Are we gonna do this or why? Look at all the love that we got. It ain't never gonna stop. Are you gonna kiss me or not? Yeah, baby. Kiss me or not?
I can tell that you're mad. And I ain't half surprised about that since the day that we met. It's always who cuts first and never who bleeds last. Rumors always turning and yelling and fighting. And once it's in your mind, only one way you'll drive. And I know, I know, I'ma take the high road, maybe get gone. Have a little too much of something terrible. And I'ma let you cool down while I walk out. You ain't messing me up like the times before. I don't need a ticket to your free show. Knock yourself out and hit a new. Like home for the holidays. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam, if you long for the sunshine and the friendly game, for the holidays you can't be home, sweet home.
Text Tell your smart speaker to play St. Croix Country.
We got a pontoon boat with a Yamaha. People dress like they're in Panama. Small town spring break every weekend around this place. And there's a bunch of boys trying to catch the eyes of all the pretty girls that are walking by. And those redneck margaritas are two for one at that old marina. Yeah, tan lines and gas station cheap sunglasses. They're coming here from all around to get a little southbound, unwound. Tennessee, honey, cotton, a bus. Them south sounds abound. Some are dripping off of us. From the riverbank to the party cove. Long as it floats, we'll rock the boat. And it's all looking up when we get down. Yeah. She take it slow. She's dancing on the dock, and it's only 2 o'clock. Yeah, the fish ain't biting, cause the party's on. Oh man, I'm thinking about going home. But those redneck margaritas are two for one at that old marina. Yeah, they're gonna get a little southbound, unwound. Tennessee, honey, kind of us. Them south sounds abound. Some are dripping off of us. From the riverbank to the party cove.
I wanna spend the rest of my life
whisper in the dark. Your hair all around me, baby, you surround me. You touch every place in my heart. Oh, it feels like the first time, every time. So in love with you, it just keeps getting better. I wanna spend the rest of my life with you by my side, forever and ever. Every little thing that you do, baby, I'm amazed by you.
News right now for all of Northwest Wisconsin. Subscribe to our daily newsletter at stcroix.country.
I wish I would have met you anywhere but where I did. Some old high rise town that I won't ever go again. Wish we would have rolled around some old chase them city lights, hit bars I don't like. We were listening to one more silver dollar hanging out by Silverado down the road I loved to ride. Wish I would have known that by now you'd be good and gone and you'd leave us in a cloud of dust. Can't you see what you're doing, girl? You want a damn near. Why'd I ever take the bed and take the places that I love to go? Hell, I never know. I even took you to my hometown to meet my mama. Now I'm gonna see you every time I see that welcome sign. Wish I would've known about now you'd be good and gone and you'd leave us in a cloud of dust. Can't you see what you're doing, girl? You know a damn near everything I love. Girl, you're wrong now.
was 700 fence posts from your place to ours. Neither one of us was old enough to drive a car. Sometimes it was raining, sometimes it would shine. We wore out that gravel road between your house and mine. I'd start walking your way, you'd start walking mine. We'd meet in the middle, beneath that old Georgia pine. We'd gain a lot of ground, cause we both give a little. Ain't no road too long, we meet in the middle. It's been 7 years tomorrow since we set our vows. Under that old pine tree, you ought to see it now. Standing in the backyard, reminding me and you, if we don't see eye to eye, there's something we can do. I'd start walking your way, you'd start walking mine. We'd meet in the middle, beneath that old Georgia pine. We'd gain a lot of ground, cause we both give a little. Ain't no road too long, we start walking mine. We meet in the middle, beneath that old Georgia pine. We gain a lot of ground, cause we both give a little. Ain't no road too long when we meet in the middle. Oh, I'd start walking your way, you'd start walking mine.
We couldn't even pronounce. We were stuck in the middle, loving every ounce. Tequila was cheap, but the flow we were feeling was real. Neither one of us looking for three little words, unless those three words were do not disturb. Checkout was supposed to be noon, but we slept until three. She kept the hotel key, slipped it in a purse, I guess. It makes her think of me. And that night we left our hearts on the sleeves and the clothes all over the floor. We both know we can't open that door no more, but she kept the hotel key. Well, I can still see her on the bed, sitting Indian style, with my t-shirt on and a half-drunk smile. She talked about Austin and how she'd get back there someday. I had the curtains wide open and a song on my phone. We danced by the TV we never turned on, and wondered would anyone miss us if we ran away. But this isn't one of those stories that ends up that way. She kept the hotel key, slipped it in a purse, I guess. It makes her think of me. And that night we left our hearts on the sleeves and my clothes all over the floor. We both know we can't open the door no more, but she kept the hotel key. We left the crowd, we left the world and locked it out. She left a picture in my head, she left a night I can't forget. But she kept the hotel key, slipped it in.